Time now for Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. All the topics and issues that matter to you and your family. Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Good afternoon and welcome to this special hour-long edition of Fort McMurray Matters as we bring you the first mayoral debate of the municipal election in partnership with the Fort McMurray Today. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and joining me in studio are your candidates. We have lawyer Don Scott, realtor Alan Granderson, lawyer and current counselor Alan Vinny and Steamfitter, and helicopter pilot Tony Needham, along with today's managing editor, Olivia Condon. So we have broken down how the debate will work with our candidates, but for those listening live or watching live on the Mix or today's Facebook page, just so you know, candidates have 1 minute to present their opening remarks, then we'll get into the questions. They have a minute to answer with a 30-second rebuttal if they wish. Then the last 10 minutes of the debate, we'll open the questions up to you, the voters. Give us a call or leave a comment on one of the social media pages using the hashtag WBVotes. We have reporters monitoring those questions. So we have done a random draw. And Mr. Needham, we will start with your opening remarks whenever you're ready.
Oh, I just want to say that before I came to the region, a lot of my friends and colleagues back home in Ontario, they asked me to be extremely careful of the newfies out here and watch out for the drinking and the gambling and the drugs and that it's a horrific, very rough place and that I wouldn't be able to joke around. And I came out here and those stereotypes just dropped off immediately. I mean, the Newfoundlanders I met were the kindest, nicest people, and probably the only reason I'm even here today, because they act as your union representative at work, right? They don't let the boss bother anybody. They all gang up on the boss if they're being unfair. And it even took me into their home, so I was able to take an LOA job, which allowed me to get out of camp. And then I immersed myself in the community, and you know, there's some of the kindest, nicest people here. And from what I've seen, the siding is exactly the same here as the siding in Calgary and Edmonton. So great. It's a really nice place to bring your family.
Mr. Grandison.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here today. Fort McMurray has been my home since 1984. I've raised my family here. I have three boys. I find Fort McMurray an awesome community, and I'm looking for an opportunity to give back. I think working and providing some leadership for council, all of council has to work together to resolve the issues, particularly the issue of Bill 21. And I was quite surprised at the weekend trade show to hear how many people have not been informed or don't understand the impact of that. Fiscal responsibility is going to have to be one of the key issues, working forward and trying to address the impact of Bill 21 and trying to ensure that our citizens aren't going to receive too much of an impact financially as a direct result of that. Working with our local economy, with our business leaders, and actually trying to sit down at the table and work together and collaboratively. That's basically the things that I'm all about. So
thank you
very much.
And Mr. Vinny.
Yes, there's a couple of things we need to work on with council, addressing day-to-day concerns of citizens. We had talked about a rapid response team that never happened. I would like to follow through with that. And also we need to embrace not only the philosophy of open and transparent government, we also need to do some of the practical things. And one of them is, you know, less in-camera meetings, less meetings that public are not privy to, because that leads into Bill 21 and Bill 8. The last council meeting to appease the provincial government and the oil sands companies, council voted to cut our budget in half. That is simply not doable. It's not sustainable. It's never been done in any Western democracy. Other things, I want to be the champion of ECMAR. That's the road on the east side of town, the second exit. Fix the land tenure system, and of course, continue a world-class job of our recovery.
Great, thank you. And last but not least, Mr. Scott.
Well, I want to thank everybody for participating in this and for organizing this debate. It's fundamental to democracy to make sure that these things happen. I'm from back east originally. I'm a business owner. I've been a counselor. I've been an MLA. I've been a minister in the provincial government. But more fundamentally, I've been a volunteer in this community. I'm currently sit on the board with the Legion, and I also sit on the board with the United Way. I believe in volunteerism, and that's always been at the heart of why I've tried to get involved in this community and make sure that we are all giving back. And I certainly encourage others to do that. I think there's three critical issues. I have a 50-point platform that's out on social media and out on the website. It's at donscott.ca. We need to address fly-in and fly-out. I believe that this community is losing residents, and we need to make sure that we return to our pre-fire population. And one of the simplest things we can do is negotiate with industry and return people to this region. We need to address Bill 21. The last council meeting dealt with that, but we need to do more, and we need to get more economic development in this region.
Great, thank you. And now we are going to head straight into the questions. Once again, you each have 1 minute to respond. You do have a 30-second rebuttal if you wish. Just put your hand up and we will take your question in the order of which you raised your hand. So getting right into it, Mr. Grandison, you will be the first to answer this. So we're going to start with how the current council wrapped up their final meeting ahead of the election, Bill 21 and Bill 8, as a few of you have already brought up. Bill 21's changes to the Provincial Municipal Government Act creates a 5-to-1 ratio for how much a municipality can tax its non-residential property tax class relative to its residential tax classes. Currently, the municipality has an 18-to-1 tax ratio. It collects close to 95% of its property tax revenues from rural non-residential tax class, which includes the oil sands projects. For the outgoing mayor and council, they have endorsed a 10-year transition plan, which, if accepted by the province, will reduce our budget by about $20 million each year until 2027. If elected, will you honor the proposed plan, and how will you ensure the municipality successfully adapts to the revenue challenges presented by Bill 21? Mr. Grandison.
Well, I think to start with, I find it somewhat difficult to imagine that we had to be legislated into working with our industry partners in the tax base in the first place. However, we are at that juncture now, and the legislation is in place. I think we have to work within it. I think there are still opportunities today, and there will be opportunities in the future to sit down with our partners in industry. We all live in this community together. I've never met anybody from industry that doesn't want to be part of Fort McMurray, and I've never met anybody in Fort McMurray or the region that doesn't want industry here. So we have a perfect opportunity to sit down, and I think there'll be opportunities in the future to negotiate. Whether this stays true for 10 years, I can't speak to that. I think the agreement is in place right now. I think there's an obligation to honor it and to move forward, but I'm certainly willing to always look at any other options that are available as we move forward.
Great. Mr. Vinny.
So, yes, what the province has done is almost an unprecedented attack on the one power that local governments have, and that's their property tax regime. So they're taking away assessment, they're taking away our ability to set rates. The thing about cutting the budget, it's about cutting $20 million a year cumulative, so that in 10 years our budget will be $200 million less than it is today. To get there, the council is proposing essentially 0% wage hikes, no capital, no new capital projects for the next 10 years, none at all. I'm sorry, with inflation 2.5% like normal, we're talking about a cutting a budget in half. That's never been done. Even Ralph Klein, if you look at the budget figures he did, he cut 15% over the first 4 years. 4 years later, they were back.
And time is up.
Thank you.
Mr. Scott.
The current path that we're on, I believe, is unviable. So one of the things I'm going to encourage the new council to do is to rescind the joint proposal that was just voted on at the last council meeting. I showed up at that council meeting and I spoke against it. And I encouraged councillors not to make the decision that they did and to wait until the new council and the new mayor was in place. One of the things that I've seen over and over again in this community is that people do not understand the financial impact of Bill 21. What I would like to see is the new council have a discussion with industry, and as part of any package for a tax reduction for industry, there needs to be a commitment by industry to put more people in this region, and that's fundamental to what I think is going to impact everybody's house prices, the viability of businesses in this community. We need to start a regime that works for both sides. It's great to have a partnership, but the partnership needs to work on both directions. We need a viable community. I'm not in the pocket of industry. We need to make sure that industry is successful, but not at the expense of the community.
Mr. Needham.
You know, I believe they wanted to pass Bill 21 almost to penalize us because of our prior spending habits. And they've seen us waste a lot of money. They've seen the prior councils waste a lot of money and not have anything come to fruition in many cases. So they figure they can, we can run our region on a smaller budget. And seeing that a lot of the infrastructure is in place now, and we will have to work with industry to make sure that we can successfully run the region still on that new operating budget, and of course our capital budget is going to be cut, but the most of the infrastructure is in place for now. And I believe that we have to work with our industry partners to ensure that, you know, we have a shadow industry out there of almost 20,000 people in camp, and that they're paying their part.
Is there any rebuttals? Okay, so moving on to the next question, and once again, just ask that you go as close to the mic as possible, just so we can get the best sound. So, next question. After the downtown arena was cancelled by council, the municipality's Land Planning and Transportation Committee assigned a citizens' task force to propose alternative options for the location to where the arena was to be built on. Three options they pitched included an urban park, a future event center, arena, performing arts center, or a movie multiplex. The latter was dismissed by Landmark Cinemas after confirming their intention to open a new location in Eagle Ridge. So, Mr. Vinny, we will start with you. What is the best use for the land now sitting vacant in downtown Fort McMurray?
From a municipal perspective, I will still submit that the best use of that land will ultimately be for a sport and entertainment center. I just can't imagine us being the only city in Canada over 25,000 that do not have some kind of arena with some kind of reasonable seating, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 people. I get it that people didn't like the process and didn't like the proposals, but the fundamental idea of a sport and entertainment center still makes more sense. We have a lot of parks. We have the SNI, and we're going to develop the Clearwater River. You know, it doesn't really work as a park. It's you know, and I think people are starting to realize that Shell Place and McDonald Island are not the kind of places where you would go see a Fleetwood Mac or a, you know, a junior hockey.
And time is up. Thank you. Mr. Scott.
If there's already a Catalyst project in the works, and I'm not part of the current council, so I don't know if there is a Catalyst project, that would be great for the downtown. If there is no Catalyst project in the works, we cannot leave the downtown looking the way it is. We need to do better. We need to have a downtown that we can be proud of. I put out a press release on this exact topic. If you want to see it, it's at donscott.ca. But I believe that a combination of an urban park, a permanent market, putting the lands that are currently large parking lots back in private hands makes sense. We can have restaurants. We can have an entertainment district downtown. We can do even more with our waterfront. But I want to make the downtown a draw, a place where people want to go and enjoy themselves. And currently we can do a lot better than we are. And fundamentally, I think it's, for me, it's about getting the lands that are owned by the municipality or controlled by the municipality back in private hands and trying to get investors so that we can have the shops and services that every other community has.
Thank you. Mr. Needham?
My vision is to build a hall down in that expropriated area next to Jubilee Center. And that would incorporate a multi-story parking complex and a 24/7 childcare facility and a retirement complex, and bring back our businesses that were thriving, that we expropriated back in 2013. And the multi-story parking garage will allow people to easily park downtown and help revitalize the downtown area. And the Phoenix Hall would, you know, commemorate the fact that, you know, we're rebuilding and we're going to be stronger after the fire. And also to, as a memorial for the people that we lost that were fleeing the fire. We could also, as Don had said, I thought an urban garden would be a perfect place for one of those lots that we expropriated also downtown.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Grandison.
This is, I think, a very sensitive issue. The lands were expropriated and a fairly high value paid for them, and certainly our economy and the circumstances in our community has changed. I don't think it's that simple. I think we need to work with business, with commerce, with our community members in looking at alternatives of what to do with the land. I don't think it's necessarily up to me. I think that that we have to look out and look at some options. The one thing I don't want to do is create a disadvantage for our existing businesses, for those people that have hung through the downturn in the economy and worked. I don't want to create up a competition with lands that are of lesser value for those businesses that already exist. So I think it's an issue that's going to take some time to have a look at and find out what's most appropriate for our community, and that can't be done in isolation of those that are affected by the downtown core.
Great, thank you. Any rebuttals to that? Didn't see any hands raised. So next question, and Mr. Scott, we will start with you. So in addition to this, so with so many new businesses following the population north of the Athabasca moving into Timberley, Thickwood areas, how should the municipality encourage investment downtown? Mr. Scott.
Yes, there's been a lot of discussion about having economic development downtown, and I think that's an important thing. One of the things that I can say, in my previous role when I was Minister of Innovation and Advanced Education, I was responsible for helping cities and communities understand how to bring investment into their communities. And one thing I can tell you is that other communities in Alberta are working hard to attract investment. They are meeting with those people, the mayor is meeting with those people, other community leaders, if there's a college or a university involved, they're meeting with people who are considering to invest. We need to do a better job of doing that. We need to go out and get investment. We can't wait for the investment to come to us. That might have worked in the old days, but it does not work now. We need to do a much better job. So I see having an economic development commission right at the forefront of this, where we are making sure that we're seeking every opportunity, and we're showing other places and investors that we have the opportunities here in Fort McMurray for them to develop and to invest.
Thank you. Mr. Needham?
I believe part of helping revitalize downtown would be helping the businesses compete for market space, especially against the big industry. And also to attract new industry. There's many new industries in the world, like solar cell research, and we could bring industries such as aircraft maintenance into Fort Mac, because we're an end-of-the-line place, and it'd be a perfect place for that. And we can work with Gano College to help train people in solar cell technology or aircraft mechanical engineer, and introduce new businesses into the area and give them the break so that they can compete with the big businesses and big industry for the land they need, and hopefully develop their businesses here, and offer special incentives for people that buy locally, so make sure that they buy downtown instead of Edmonton or Calgary.
Great, thank you. Mr. Grandison.
I think in the past, the evidence is clear. We haven't done a very good job of attracting new business into our region. I think sometimes I look to the person with the most expertise, entrepreneurs, private business people. They're the ones who know how to get business up and going. They're the ones who are the masters at that level. And I think that having a government try and do that is not necessarily appropriate. So I would definitely look to, whether it's a commission or an economic development committee of some kind that includes all of the experts. And I agree, we have to start attracting more business into our community, but I would look to the experts for the advice on how to do that.
Great, thank you. Mr. Binney.
I agree that we can always be doing a part as a partner, the municipality as a partner in encouraging people to come and invest here. But, you know, at some point in this region, we're going to have to talk about the elephant in the room, and that is the land tenure system. That's why I got into municipal politics to start with. We have to understand that I spoke to a lot of developers in 2010 through 2013 when things were still pretty good here. These are people that were looking to invest $100 to $300 million building office towers, malls, other types of developments. At the end of the day, they all walked away because they could not wrap their heads around the land tenure system here. The fact that you cannot go and buy land on the private market from other people who own it. The fact that the province owns all the land, has always owned all the land, has done a lousy job of making it available to anybody who needs it or wants it.
And time is up. Thank you. Any rebuttals on this issue? Mr. Grandison.
I think back in the day, Mr. Klein made it perfectly clear that land acquisition became a line point in the provincial government's budget, and I agree that it's been made. I think at this time there is a fair amount of land. I don't know exactly how much. And I absolutely agree that for private business to flourish, there has to be an opportunity to obtain land. So I agree that the government takes a role. And I believe that the government, the municipal government, we're one player. We're one of many players. We play a significant role, but we're one player, and we have to include all the others.
Great, thank you. Anybody else? Mr. Scott.
Sure, I would just add in that there are lands available right now. There's certainly land south of the city that are available for economic development, and there's lower cost land available within the community right now for entrepreneurs or for those who want to invest. So this is an ideal time for us to be going out and seeking investors to make sure that we're the most attractive place on the radar so that we can get that money invested in our region, create jobs, make sure that people have employment, that they're giving back to the community, that the municipality is expanding its tax base. So this is an ideal time to be out looking for more investment.
And time is up. Mr. Needham?
I do think it is a good time to attract new investment into the city, and businesses really need to start. We need to all start a campaign together so that we all start using the downtown core more. We all start investing and buying products from Fort McMurray, from our neighbors, and hopefully start a campaign which Wood Buffalo could champion.
And time is up. Thank you. Mr. Vinny, would you like a chance to respond?
Well, I'm hopefully not going to sound like I'm repeating myself. You know, Mr. Granison talked about how, you don't want to favor newcomer businesses over existing businesses. There has to be a level playing field. I don't think people have really given the thought to the fact that the way land works here is not the same as anywhere else in Canada, probably not anywhere else in the Western world. Other places, you look at Edmonton, how it's expanding to the south there. It's because they can buy private land.
You each had your one chance rebuttal, so we are going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters. We will be back after these commercials.
You're listening to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7, brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and by Culligan Water. We'll be right back after this. Now, back to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7, brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Welcome back to this special hour-long edition of Fort McMurray Matters as we bring you the first mayoral debate of the municipal election in partnership with the Fort McMurray Today. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and once again, joining me in studio is your mayoral candidates. We have lawyer Don Scott, realtor Alan Grandison, lawyer and current councillor Alan Vinny, and steam fitter and helicopter pilot Tony Needham. So getting back into the questions, Mr. Needham, we're going to kick off with you. One part of the downtown development is Willow Square. The province has committed to opening the new continuing care center by spring 2020, which will be run by Alberta Health Services. However, the aging in place facility is being managed by Alberta Seniors, who are still planning the facility with the Willow Square Steering Committee. No plans or timelines have been released yet. What will you do as mayor to ensure that the aging in place facility is built and in a timely manner, Mr. Needham?
Well, I'm really a big advocate for aging in place. I mean, that's the one thing our community is missing. I've been in the fourth floor of the hospital with many of my friends visiting their parents who can't take care of themselves anymore. So it's really important to me that does get built. And I think the most important thing I can do is when the continuing care center is being built is actually to go out there and talk to the guys, touch the concrete, and ensure the province that we are going to make sure we get it built this time, and to push the Alberta Seniors organization to help us come up with an aging in place facility. Although I do understand that many of the seniors will be going into the continuing care facility when it does open. But yeah, I will be out there, boots to the ground, and bringing coffee for the boys, and making sure that project is completed.
Great, thank you, Mr. Grandison.
You know, I was for Willow Square before. I'm still for Willow Square as a destination for our seniors. I've worked very closely with the seniors in the community, and I'm a strong believer that a healthy community has an opportunity for people to live from the start of their life to the end of their life and have all of the appropriate facilities and needs that they require. the designation through the for the community for the seniors would also provide some support for people with disabilities and everything else. In terms of the agent in place, again, from the role in council and as mayor, we have to work towards negotiating and working with the province and with the other stakeholders involved, all of the seniors, et cetera, to make sure that those needs are identified and clearly put forward, and they can't be forgotten. Our seniors bring a tremendous amount of knowledge and history to our community, and we need to embrace it and make sure that their voices are heard and their needs are met.
Thank you. Mr. Binney?
Yes, really agreeing with Mr. Granison on this. I have every utmost confidence in the seniors in this community that they will continue their ongoing interest and advocacy for development of a region that is age-friendly. And you know, I know the aging committee is working on that under the protocol of the UN that they are and aging is for everybody. Proper aging for preschool kids, for seniors, and this is a big step with continuing care. And I'm sure the seniors will get a plan together that they will present to the province about what the aging and care, aging in place facility will look like as it develops in the future.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Scott.
Willow Square has been at the heart of this community for a long time, and the advocacy that the seniors have put forward. In my platform, I've got a very specific statement about Willow Square, and that's at donscott.ca. It says that in our platform, it says, ensure senior citizens can enjoy their retirement years in our region in the way they choose to do so, including the completion of an aging-in-place facility at Willow Square. The Willow Square site has quite a history. I was involved in trying to acquire that site from the federal government for quite a while. At the end of my time as an MLA, we were able to purchase the Willow Square lands and then turn that over to the city so that now we are able to do something with it. So it's something that is going to be done during the next term of no matter who is elected. I believe it's going to be fundamental to get that completed. It's something that I will fight tooth and nail for to make sure that it's completed and making sure that our seniors have a voice the entire time, all the way through it. And if money needs to be committed from the government, then we are going to commit the money to make sure it gets done.
Thank you. Any rebuttals? All right, moving on to the next question. So we have seen delays with big projects that involve other levels of government, such as Willow Square and the twinning of Highway 63. And now a combined $10 million is being spent, $5 million from the municipality, $5 million from the province, on researching the proposed East Clearwater Highway, which would provide an alternative route out of Fort McMurray and for transporting dangerous goods. So how will you keep the pressure on the provincial government so this and other projects are not forgotten and completed in a timely manner? Mr. Grandison, we'll start with you.
You know, once again, I believe the municipal government is one piece of a larger equation. I think to apply pressure to the provincial government and ensure projects move forward, there's always a number of factors in place. But we need all of the vested people who are interested in this to step forward and work collaboratively. Something I haven't seen much of in the past is the municipality working with a lot of the partners to ensure projects get done. And I think that's where we would need to go to ensure this project or other projects get done, is to have industry and those who are affected and those who would benefit from an east-west connector and from another road. Certainly it would support our citizens. We've all gone through a horrendous experience in the last while, and I think having other options available. But in order to move something forward, we all have to be at the same table. We all have to be sharing our interests, and we all have to be pushing forward.
Thank you. Mr. Vinny?
Yes, I guess this was the other reason I got into municipal politics. And again, agreeing in large part with Mr. Grandison, this isn't really necessarily a pressure thing. This is a collaboration. This is a major project. It's going to be in the $1.5 billion range. This needs to bring in the federal government, the provincial government, the oil sands, the railway, the municipal government, the indigenous groups in this region will be affected by it, and other stakeholders. This is a key project. It is really the next project that's in the CRISP report, is in the other studies that have been done on what road work we need. It will increase the economic viability of this region tremendously, but more importantly for citizens, it will give everybody a second way out in the case of any type of emergency. We need this project. As I learned in municipal government, every project needs a champion, I would be happy to champion
this
project.
Time is up. Thank you. Mr. Scott.
In my platform, I've indicated that we want to work with all levels of government to create a dangerous goods route for Fort McMurray. But more fundamentally, what I've stated in my platform is that within 90 days of the election, we're going to invite all levels of government to meet with the newly elected council to begin the development of a strategic plan for the future of the region. There are a lot of projects we need to keep the pressure on, and I think I'm in a good position with the history of experience I have with all levels of government to bring that pressure to bear, and I'm looking forward to doing that. But fundamentally, it's going to be about creating relationships. I want to work together with the other levels of government so that they see the needs of this region and that we're going to strongly advocate for the needs of the region going forward.
Great. Thank you. And Mr. Needham.
I really don't believe we have to put too much pressure on the provincial government because of the fact that up here, especially in this industry, safety is just key. And as we've seen from either our experience or from videos, there were people, you know, going through fireballs across the highway. I mean, there was nowhere else to go. People being burned and cars, tires being melted trying to get out of this town, and safety is imperative. If we can't do the oil sand safely, we might as well not do it. So I don't mind, you know, showing up at the provincial government's door and ensuring that they do give us that safe access out of town, and it will also help our industry and give us more access to the city. But as far as advocating it, it speaks for itself. We need to be safe here, and we need to feel safe.
Great. Thank you. Any rebuttals to that? All right. Moving on. The commuting workforce has been blamed for many problems in Wood Buffalo, from high land prices and strained infrastructure to lost municipal revenue. It's also not unusual to hear of workers who've never ventured outside work camps promote a negative image of the city to outsiders. So, Mr. Vinny, we'll start with you. What steps can the municipality take to encourage workers to live in Fort McMurray without inflating the real estate market to levels seen during boom times?
Well, I'm going back to the elephant in the room. We have to work with the province to get them to finish the land release program. What the bureaucrats down there call the urban development subregion, that's where they expanded the size of Fort McMurray to three times its size. They drew those lines on the map. They bought back 40 oil leases from 28 oil companies, paying billions of dollars to do so. That was Ed Stelmach. Thank you, sir. But they did not follow through in transferring that land to the municipality so we could sell it to the private sector. It's not about inflating the prices of land. That wasn't caused by the fly-in, fly-out people. The fly-in, fly-out people came because we had inflated house prices here because we ran out of land. Thank you, the province, for not help working with us on that. And therefore, the oil companies could not convince enough people to move here over the last 15 years to work here because they couldn't understand why a house that they could have for $200,000 in Thunder Bay or Deer Lake was going to cost them $1 million here.
Great, thank you. And time is up. And Mr. Scott.
This is a real opportunity. Now, the house prices are not what they were. The oil companies, I believe, need to be responsible. This community has helped them develop and help their success. Now it's time for them to take a step with this community and make sure that they're putting their employees in our community as much as they can. When it's a remote site, when people have to work at a distant location, then use our airport. We need to make sure that our residents are getting access to those jobs, and we need the oil companies to be placing. Industry needs to look back in our community and see that this is the better route going forward. That's going to help all of us. The other thing I think we can do as a community is we can create our brand. Right now, if I ask 10 people what our brand is, what's the brand of this region, I don't get any answer. We need to create a brand. We need to make sure that together we collectively put forward a message that this community is open, it's open for business, it's an amazing place to live, and we need to communicate that so that the rest of the country hears it.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Needham?
Well, myself and my neighbors probably wouldn't mind if the house crisis did increase due to workers coming to live in the town, but I believe with the current construction housing boom, the house prices are being maintained stable. But once the people move into the houses that are built, they're no longer going to be renting, and there's going to be a lot of access to accommodation for a lot of people in the region. So if we did you know, shorten the travel time to some of the sites, and people decided to move their families to Fort McMurray in the next few years, I think there'll be a lot of accommodation available, and it won't affect the house prices. In fact, it'll probably just help keep the house prices stable as they are right now due to the construction boom.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Grandison.
I know when I worked at the municipality, we did a tremendous amount of work trying to brand ourselves and create a positive image of our region and our community. And a lot of effort by a lot of good people went into that. And unfortunately, some of the media, some of the drive-by media articles tend to focus on negative things. And I think it's just an ongoing battle. And I think we have to keep doing that. In terms of the attraction, you know, we do have land in Fort McMurray right now. We do have opportunities for further development at the moment. Increasing commerce in our region, looking at a highway, looking at an increased opportunity. Again, working with industry to make this a region first is something that we have to work forward to. It's a business model for these businesses, and it's not up to me to tell them how to run their business. But I do believe that if we sit down and work together to get a region first kind of behavior and attitude, I think we can establish that.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Scott, you have a 30-second rebuttal.
See, I do think we need to tell business what this community needs. We can't let just business, it can't be just industry doing what industry wants to do. We need to encourage industry, work with industry, and make sure that they're investing back in this community, putting their people in this region to work. I'm very concerned that this fly-in, fly-out mentality seems to be pervasive throughout this entire region. You know, I want to work with industry, but the partnership has to be both ways. We need industry to be successful, but we need the community and the region to be viable going forward as well.
Great, thank you. Mr. Grandison, you have a 30-second rebuttal.
Hi, once again, I've been in this community since 1984. I have yet to see industry from a community perspective behave dreadfully bad. They want to be here. They need us, and we need them. This is a relationship made in heaven. If we sit down, and I believe they're willing to come to the table, I don't think that we've been the ones that have been willing to listen in the past. I think we need to be willing to listen in the forward. I would like to bring a new opportunity and a new chance to work with our partners to go forward.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Needham, 30 seconds.
Yeah, I believe as far as the fly in, fly out is concerned, it was our prior councils that you know, begged the industry to build the camps and build the runways. We're now in a different situation. We can handle those employees living in town. But yeah, we have to remember that we have to be able to give them the choice. And I think through the fires and through the fast years, the past few years that.
Great, thank you. Time is that. Mr. Vinny, did you want a chance to rebuttal?
Well, just to Mr. Needham's point, I don't think there's any basis for saying previous councils encouraged the other 48 aerodromes or the camps to be built here. We intervened to delay or try and stop camp development. We want all air traffic to flow through our airport. We were once the 15th busiest airport in this country. We would have been the 6th busiest if everybody flew into Fort McMurray instead of the 48 other aerodromes that the oil companies have built.
Great, so thank you.
I just
time is up.
Don't understand that criticism.
So to follow up on this, Mr. Scott, we will start with you. Do you think work camps should be taxed as past candidates for mayor and council have suggested?
There's definitely going to need to be a financial disincentive for what's currently happening. I mean, I talked to a person at the trade show this weekend, and they were telling me the situation where they were going to move to either Edmonton or Calgary. They're trying to figure out which, so they could work north of Fort McMurray. You know, the situation has become absurd. You know, our own local residents aren't getting the opportunities to work here unless they move away. You know, we've got to change that. So there's got to be a financial disincentive if we can't come to a cooperative agreement. That would be my preference. With Bill 21, the government has essentially said to industry, you're going to get lower taxes. And that's fine. I understand that. I understand the need for industry to argue for that. But at the same time, we need to make sure that the community is viable. We need to make sure that we're expanding our tax base. And the way we do that is by having more people live in this community. A partnership means both sides benefit, not just industry. So we're going to be asking industry to put more people in this community. And if they're going to fly people in, use our airport.
Thank you. Mr. Needham.
Yeah, I believe that I'm an advocate for using our airport and on the first and last day of a lot of the fly-in, fly-out workers. But on the other hand, I think through the fire and over the past few years, the industry has learned that they can fly right over our heads and operate just fine. So we have to work with them in a partnership. And I'm sure that they're willing to help our community. They understand that for generations we've been supporting the oil sands. A lot of people have moved up here with their families and have worked long 14, 16 hour days to make this viable for 30, 40 years, even longer. So I believe that we can shorten the routes for people to get home from those sites, but we should make it an option for the workers. Do they want to come live in town or live in Calgary or Edmonton? It should be their choice.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Grandison.
I want to be clear about something. You know, I'm not totally industry friendly or not friendly or the other thing. I think industry has their business. I think municipal government has its business. And I think all levels of government have their business. What I believe is we have a certain limit in what we can do. We can apply taxation, some of which has now been taken away from with Bill 21. Those are the things we can do. I believe that if we sit down at the table and we negotiate with a common goal and a common benefit, we can achieve more. I think industry has to be held accountable for the work they do, the environment, their employees, their health, the safety, vehicles on the road. All of these factors have to be taken into account. And municipal government has a role to play in all of those things. But I honestly believe that if we work together, we get a much more beneficial outcome at the end of the day.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Vinny.
But I just want to dispel the notion that there's just some tax that we could put on camps that we've just neglected or decided not to do, because that just isn't there. There is a hotel tax that the province could put in place, given that they're asking us to essentially cut the taxes that the oil sands pay by 70%. I'm not sure they're going to be that amenable to putting a tax on the camps. But by and large, we do tax the camps. We tax the assessed value of all property in this region. So this supposed high tax that industry has been paying has fallen on the camp developments as well as the industrial developments. But now the province has legislated that we have to dramatically cut that tax. So we're in a pretty tough game here, where we have to understand that the role of the mayor and council is to be a counterweight to industry and the province.
And time is up. Thank you. Would anybody like to rebuttal this? Mr. Scott.
So one point I want to be really clear on is that this is a real opportunity right now to deal with fly-in and fly-out. The provincial government has brought forward Bill 21. Our current council has made a deal with industry to give industry exactly what it wants, which is 10 years of tax reductions. We're going to be impacted tremendously in this region. We're going to see lower services, I believe, over the next 10 years at the same time. This is the time to make a deal with industry to reduce fly-in and fly-out. This is the perfect time. This is exactly what should be done. I do not know why the current council simply handed industry everything it wanted and is making a joint recommendation to the provincial government.
Mr. Grandison.
I don't think that council gave industry everything they wanted. I don't think that at all. I think industry's been on the door of council for many years, for many, many years, for the last decade, to sit down and negotiate a reasonable rate for a reasonable return. I think that's true now, and I think it was true before, and I think it'll be true in the future. We can't bully or behave badly and expect to get a positive outcome. And I think that's some of what's been going on. And I think that's part of what needs to change. And I honestly believe in doing that, we will come out better in the end.
Great, thank you. Would either of you two like to rebuttal? Mr. Vinny?
Well, you know, some complex issues here. First of all, you know, this 18-to-1 tax ratio is a complete, untruth. You know, where you get a tax bill and they say, you know, your house is worth $800,000. You don't have a lot of ability to argue with the municipality on that, and you pay your tax rate. And then for every dollar you pay a municipal tax on that $800,000 house, you pay $1.50 in education tax.
And
the companies pay none of that tax, no education tax.
All right. Well, we are going to take our final break here on Fort McMurray Matters. We will be back after these commercials.
You're listening to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and by Culligan Water. We'll be right back after this. Now, back to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Welcome back to this special hour-long edition of Fort McMurray Matters as we bring you the first mayoral debate of the municipal election in partnership with Fort McMurray today. Once again, joining us in studio are your four mayoral candidates. We have lawyer Don Scott, realtor Alan Granderson, lawyer and current counselor Alan Vinny, and steam fitter and helicopter pilot Tony Needham. So now we are moving into the listener question of our debate. We have a bunch right here. So now we're going to give you 30 seconds to respond each, and then you have a 30-second rebuttal if you wish. So we are going to start with Brett Casey McGee's question. So for all candidates, with so many residents working 12-hour shifts and having several days off in return, what suggestions are there for more flexible childcare options? Mr. Needham, we'll start with you.
Well, eventually, with Phoenix Hall, I would like to incorporate a 24/7 childcare center where parents could drop their kids off and take the bus to work from there anytime, 24/7. But I'm an advocate for helping the permit office push for more day homes, so that live-in mothers can help ease the burden of childcare and bring the child into their home.
Great, thank you. Mr. Granderson?
I've said in my platform very clearly that I support the private sector and believe that they contribute to our community tremendously. It's not a municipal mandate to provide childcare. I think we play a role in supporting our community and what they need through both our private sector and nonprofit sector, through getting support from the areas of government like the province that do provide licensing and support. I think where our permitting is required, we need to make sure we're paying attention to that and we meet the needs of all our citizens.
Great, thank you. Mr. Binney.
Yes, so just picking up on that, I think the municipality's role is to help to build a region where people want to come here, not just people who want to run heavy haulers, but people who want to have day homes, people who want to go to our college and learn about taking care of school age or preschool age children. We need to have a community that invites more than just the people who are going to work for the oil sands.
Thank you, Mr. Scott.
Thanks for the question, Brett. When I first arrived in Fort McMurray, I was involved in one of the projects here called Children First, and that involved getting more daycare in this community. So it's something that I fundamentally believe in. Even though the municipality doesn't directly get involved in facilitating daycare, they can still do it by advocating with other levels of government and making sure that there's opportunities and space available. So that's something that I think you'll see going forward. We want to make sure this community has every opportunity for people, and obviously daycare is going to be an important part of that.
Great, thank you. Would anybody like to rebuttal? All right, moving on to the next question. This one comes from JB. With so many homes on the market, more houses and apartments being built, and the marketplace down, how will candidates stabilize the housing situation? Mr. Granderson.
As a realtor, I can tell you I'd love to know the answer to that question. I think at the end of the day, house prices and the economy is driven by supply and demand like anything else. And, you know, I've been here for a long time, and I've seen Fort McMurray's economy go up and down, and it was horrible in the 80s, and it came back, and I believe it will again. I think as oil prices stabilize, and I think as more people move into our community to gain work, we'll see house prices stabilize and increase again, and that's what it's going to take.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Binney?
Yeah, I've kind of already answered that question. The plan is to get the province to sign over the two-thirds of this city, which we don't own yet, and sell that to the world at large, and in that way, stable, having a true market, having prices that are created by a free and fair open market, and then everybody can trust the price of real estate, and you know it will
and
fluctuate given
Thank
demand
you.
And supply, but at least we can trust
Mr.
land.
Mr. Scott.
Thanks for the question, JB. I deal with house price issues all the time as part of the real estate world that I've been involved in. Fundamental to the house prices is fly in and fly out employment. We need more people living in the region. That's how we are going to stabilize and eventually get better house prices in the region. So I really believe we need to address that with industry. We also need this to be an attractive place to live. We need shops and services so people will want to live here at the same time. That's why I have a plan for the downtown.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Needham.
As Alan said, I think as the oil prices rise, there's going to be a lot more opportunity for employment here. People are going to move here and occupy those homes that are soon to be vacant due to the end of the construction boom in a few years. Also, we have Teck Oil building a new project 110 kilometers north of town, which the construction workers will be working and living in town as far, hopefully they will be. We'll advocate that they do.
Great, thank you. Time is up. Mr. Grandison, your 30-second rebuttal.
So just one point in terms of the land release. You know, nothing's going to affect the market faster than a glut of land being put on the market. I think we have to manage the development of land equal to what the market can withstand. It's all supply and demand. So the more we put on the market, the more the market depreciates. So we have to manage that. And I agree. Again, we have to address all of these factors, including fly in, fly out, and making this a region first. But at the end of the day, it's a supply and demand equation.
Great. Any other rebuttals on this issue? All right, our next question comes from Robbie Picard. He's looking for the candidate's thoughts on improving rapid transit to site, as well as a possible highway to Grand Prairie. Mr. Vinny, we will start with you.
Well, we looked at trying to develop a more integrated bus system. You know, I think it's kind of inefficient in town where we operate a municipal system and a private system, and where we could have one system that feeds students to school and workers to points where they could take express buses. As far as just public transit in general in the region, I think it should be free service. We collect $1.4 million.
Time is up. Thank you, Mr. Vinny. Mr. Scott.
Thanks for the question, Robbie. I think we should look at every opportunity for rapid transit. There has been some studies done in the past, and because of the nature of the land around Fort McMurray, there are some rapid transit potentials that are not going to work here. But I think we should be looking at every opportunity for rapid transit. We want people living in Fort McMurray, and I think a road to Grand Prairie would be a great idea. We could advocate that with the provincial government.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Needham.
The provincial government did do a study to bring a highway to Peace River back in 2012, 2013, and that was going to cost $400 million, and they stopped that, but it would make it a two-hour drive, basically, to Peace River and then another hour to Grand Prairie. That would just be, or an hour and a half, and that would be phenomenal. And I would definitely advocate for that, because it would give us another route out of town, and B, we'd get a Costco. So that would be phenomenal for shopping.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Grandison.
Thanks for the question. I think our entire transit system needs to be reviewed and overhauled. I've certainly had a lot of questions. In terms of rapid transit, again, we've discussed already today about roads and other highways and such, and maybe one of the solutions needs to be, are there any highway opportunities that could have our folks get to site and get to jobs in a safer and faster way? I think all of those things need to be explored with all levels of government and industry that can support it.
Great, thank you. That is all the time we do have for questions. We'll give you guys 30 seconds for closing remarks. Mr. Scott, we will start with you.
Sure, I just want to thank Mix again for hosting this debate and all my friends who are here today engaged in this debate. It's really important for democracy. Please get out and vote on October 16th. If you want to see my platform, please read it at donscott.ca. There's a comprehensive platform there. We need to overcome the voter apathy that's been so prevalent in this region historically. We've only had 20% voter turnout over the years, and it's very important that you please do get out and vote. We want to make sure that people's voices are heard, and I am seeking a mandate for those points that are in my platform to go forward with.
Great, thank you. Mr. Needham.
Yeah, I just want to thank the other colleagues here for being such gentlemen, and I would like to thank the community for considering me to be their mayor. I love speaking with people, and my platform's on anthonyneedham.com, and I look forward to serving the community.
Great, thank you. Mr. Grandison.
You know, I'd also like to thank everybody for being here and the community for listening and having this opportunity. I guess everybody's plugging their website, so I'll do the same. It's Alan Grandison for mayor.ca. Please have a look at my platform. At the end of the day, I'd like to work with all people. I think I represent the blue-collar worker. I think I can work in a room with anybody. I'd like to see us sit down at the table and move this community forward. I don't think the municipality can do it by itself.
Great. Thank you. And Mr. Binney.
Yes. It's interesting to me that we didn't get any questions today with related to recovery. I take that as support for my assertion that as a region, and I include everybody in this, we're doing a world-class job of doing this recovery from the wildfire. But it's still, you know, eyes on the road, foot on the gas. We got to keep going with that for sure. We got to build that east bypass highway. And as any of you who maybe haven't heard, we have Bill 21 and Bill 8. We've got to do something about that.
And I would like to thank each one of you for joining me in studio today. And thank you for everyone who is listening. As we know, an hour is a short amount of time to fit in all the big topics that affect our region. However, you do have more chances to see these candidates in live debates, including one on October 10th at the Suncor Energy Center. And that is brought to you by the Fort McMurray Chamber of Commerce in partnership with Mix 103.7 and the Fort McMurray Today. To rewatch or listen to this debate again, or for all your election stories, you can head to the election page under the news tab on Mix 103.7 FM. .com. And that is our show for today. We will be back again tomorrow from our regular hours, noon to 12:30. Thank you for listening. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and this has been a special edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
This has been another edition of Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm, Culligan Water, and by Fort McMurray Orthodontics. If you have a question or a comment about today's topic or have an idea for a future show, please contact the news department by emailing mixnews@mix1037fm.com.